Let's get started in Mark chapter 1. I am grateful for the opportunity to be with you again this evening. And I was pleased when David asked if I'd teach class, he mentioned that you guys were in the book of Mark. And Mark's something I started several months ago just on my own reading schedule. And so I'm about in Mark chapter 10, but I was glad to go back to Mark chapter 1 because preparation made me think about some things I hadn't been thinking about. So turn with me to Mark 1. We'll start in verse 35. And briefly like to ask God's blessing on our time together this evening. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the ways that you bless our lives, for the energy and the activity that you've given us at this very moment. We thank you, Father, for the scriptures, and we ask that you would allow us to come into your schoolroom and let us learn. And Father, let us learn from scripture, and let us learn from each other. Equip us for living out our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. So Mark chapter 1, verse 35, I want to start with the first couple of verses there. David tells me that you have been in Mark so far, but have had a little bit of a break for the last couple of weeks. Is that right? Okay. So in Mark chapter 1, verse 35, it says, "Very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, and went off to a solitary place where he prayed. Simon and his companions went to look for him. When they found him, they exclaimed, 'Everyone is looking for you.'" I think it's helpful for us, it might be helpful for us to back up a little bit, to rewind and pull forward some of what you've already studied in Mark to give us a foundation for what we're going to be looking at tonight. I think it'll make our part of the story make a little bit more sense. So back up with me to Mark chapter 1, let's start in verse 21. Now, before I start reading, I want us to think about where Jesus is, when this is happening, who's there, what happens in the section that we already read. We're going to get the clues for this from what we're reading now. Mark chapter 1, verse 21. "They went to Capernaum. And when the Sabbath came, Jesus went into the synagogue and began to teach. The people were amazed at his teaching because he taught them as one who had authority, not as their teachers of the law. Just then a man in their synagogue who was possessed by an impure spirit cried out, 'What do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? I know who you are, the Holy One of God.' 'Be quiet,' said Jesus sternly. 'Come out of him.' The impure spirit shook the man violently and came out of him with a shriek. The people were all so amazed that they asked each other, 'What is this? A new teaching? And with authority? He even gives orders to impure spirits and they obey him.' News about Jesus spread quickly over the whole region of Galilee." As soon as they left the synagogue, they went with James and John to the home of Simon and Andrew. Simon's mother-in-law was in bed with a fever. They immediately told Jesus about her. So he went to her, he took her hand, and he helped her up. The fever left her, and she began to wait on them. That evening, after sunset, the people brought to Jesus all the sick, the demon-possessed. The whole town gathered at the door. Jesus healed many who had various diseases. He also drove out many demons. But he would not let the demons speak because they knew who he was." Okay, let's answer some of those questions. Where does the story take place? Jesus is withdrawn to a solitary place. Where are they? Capernaum, right. Thank you. Capernaum was a village. It was a fishing village on the north end of the Sea of Galilee, relatively close to the sea, not very far up, back up, off the water. And that was the home of several of the disciples. And we find that it was the home of Peter and Andrew. When did this happen? Yeah, I heard it. Yeah, the Sabbath day. This is the day after the Sabbath, actually. Jesus was in the synagogue preaching on the Sabbath, and in his teaching they said, this guy's got some kind of authority. And then a guy jumps up and is healed of an impure spirit, and the people again say, what's this, a new teaching and with authority? So they leave the synagogue. They go to Peter and Andrew's home. Simon's mother-in-law's there and sick. Immediately, they told Jesus about her. I want you to pick up on that word immediately. As you study through the book of Mark, you will find immediately or some similar reference to it, something like at once, or suddenly. There's going to be some language like immediately. You'll find that about 42 times in the book of Mark. In Matthew, Luke, and John, there's a reference to immediately 10 times. That's a big difference. Mark is trying to get our attention that there is some urgency about Jesus' ministry. And he wants us to pick up on that urgency through using the word immediately. So the part we're taking here in verse 35, this early in the next morning, it was the morning after the Sabbath, the next day. What had happened on the day before? We got the part about them being in the synagogue, but what else had happened? Right, Peter's mother was healed. They're at Peter's house. And then what happens? What happens at bedtime? You know, in those days they didn't have big light, so I imagine they went to bed when it got dark, right? What happened at dark? Yeah, right. Hey, it has been a long day. They've had enough. Let's go. No, everybody shows up. And where are they? They come and they stand where? At the door. At the door. And I don't know what does this look like to you, but to me, there's some house, whatever, and some door, and Jesus is standing in the doorway, and people are just gathered around the place, people from the town, and who is it they've brought with them? The sick and the possessed, and they're all gathered around the door. Why? Why'd they come? To be healed. Why did they wait till dark? Is it more, you got better healing power in the dark?
I suspect they didn't want those in authority to see them. If we go back up, something that was always good out to me, where the guy utters, what is this? New teaching.
Yeah.
So fundamentally, this is not something that had been taught to them prior.
Yeah. Right.
That was why they denounced him. That's why they wanted to do away with him. He was kind of raining on their parade, so to speak. So it was right. A new kind of teaching.
It was a new kind of teaching, and it came with authority. It came with authority, and it was the authority that was demonstrated was this power of healing or casting out spirits. It's like, okay, well, there's something backing this up. There's a reason to pay attention. Say something more about it being evening. When did we say this has taken place? And what happens when the sun goes down? New day. We can heal on a new day, not on a Sabbath day, because we can't work on a Sabbath day. So now it's not a work day. So as soon as the new day starts, Everybody shows up. The word is out. And they parade the people by in front of Jesus. I assume it looked like a parade. I'm not sure what it looked like. In the story, we have Jesus. We have the people being healed. We have the disciples. We have Peter's mother-in-law. In the part that we're talking about this evening that starts here in verse 35, what happens? What happened? So the night before, there was all this healing, all this activity. It had been a long day. Very early the next morning, so early that it was still dark, Jesus got up and took off. He got out of there. What for? A solitary place to pray. Do you have a solitary place? Do you have a place that's your place where you go to be kind of alone? Might think about that. Maybe it's a prayer chair. Maybe it's a bedroom. Maybe it's a place that is just your place to share in that devotional time that you have with God. Jesus was looking for that place. We don't know that he had been in Capernaum before or not, but he looks for a solitary place. He goes there and prays. And then Peter and his companions show up. And what do they say? What do they say? Everybody's looking for you. Why did they want to see Jesus? What did you say? That's right. They found some more folks. They're going to come heal some more folks. We want you to show, bring other people to you. Right. As you think about Jesus on the Sabbath day, as you think about that evening after when he heals the people and when he heals Peter's mother-in-law, what pressures might Jesus feel as a new day starts? Early in the morning, what's the pressure on Jesus? Yeah, it's almost in the statement that Peter brings. Everyone's looking for you. Ah! Yeah. What does that pressure feel like for you? Can you relate to that? Pressure of being overwhelmed. That's one way we might describe it. What's another way we might describe the pressure that Jesus would have felt?
I think there's probably an element of physical exhaustion.
Okay, exhaustion. Okay, now when I'm exhausted, that's hard to get me out of the rack. But what does Jesus do? I better get up and go pray. It's a little different. William Barclay, in his commentary on the Gospel of Mark, says, simply to read the record of the things that happened at Capernaum is to see that Jesus was left with no time alone. We kind of get that sense, don't we? They're just coming. There's not time alone. Now, Jesus knew well that he could not live without God, that if he was going to be forever giving out, he must at least sometimes be taking in. That if he was going to spend himself for others, he must ever and again summon spiritual reinforcement to his aid. He knew that he could not live without prayer. And that's kind of difficult for me. To think about Jesus, the Son of God, and his reliance on prayer, that necessity for prayer, that maybe I kind of, when I get to it, it's not as urgent, it's not as pressing, maybe for me. But it was so important for Jesus What are your thoughts?
I think you spoke to it this morning. Stay close to God. Yeah. I think in our societies today, there are people who probably started out that way, but their popularity grew, and they were bombarded kids as they, you know, we know that Jesus was human.
Yeah.
He was in the flesh.
Thank you for sharing that, because that popularity caused him to withdraw.
Exactly.
And it would have had a tendency. I mean, Peter, what's Peter thinking when he comes to say, hey, everybody's looking for you, and Jesus says, well, we haven't read it. Let's see what Jesus says. Let's go somewhere else to nearby villages so I can preach there also. That's why I've come. What's Peter thinking? Right, dude, why are we leaving? We got a crowd. They're coming. Everybody wants to come. Why would you go wrestle up some people that aren't together? Why would he do that? Why did Jesus want to go somewhere else? I think definitely he knew he was needed other places. I think we get that here when he says, let's go somewhere else to the nearby villages so I can preach there also. That's why I've come. I think there is a need there. Anything else? Yeah, I can't be held down. He needed to keep moving. Well, so what's the deal with... I don't know how to come about this question. How? Maybe this is it. What were the people coming to Jesus for?
Miracles.
What did Jesus want to be known for? It might not have necessarily been the miracles. The miracles were confirming what? The message, right? And he wanted to capture people's hearts. He wanted to transform people's lives, not just their physical lives. He did want to do that. He was full of compassion, and we're going to read about here in a minute. He was full of compassion. He did want to heal them. I mean, he didn't quit. It just seems like it kept coming. But he wanted to transform their lives through the message. Todd? I almost wonder if it's the notoriety of, man, the big show's in town. You better come see it. You're not going to believe what happened. You know, look what happened to this guy. We've seen him begging all the time, sitting out by the gate, and now he's healed. Or, you know, this is what happened to my mother-in-law. That creates a desire of wanting something from Jesus.
He could have felt like they wasn't being authentic.
Yeah, right. Maybe not. Maybe he didn't feel like they were being authentic. The reason they were coming was coming to get, not coming for.
Do you think that maybe within Jesus, his compassion was conflicting on occasion?
Yeah. I think the next verse gets us there. Let's look at that. Verse 39. So he traveled through Galilee. So remember, okay, Capernaum is up here, and Capernaum would have been in Galilee, but also in Galilee was all this stuff to the west of the Sea of Galilee, that where Nazareth and Bethlehem and those towns up there would have been, where Jesus turned the water to wine, those places are up there, all in that Galilee area. He travels throughout Galilee. What's he doing while he's in Galilee? Preaching in their synagogues, driving out demons. I think both of those things are happening at the same time. It's hard to separate the message from the action. The action has to go with the words. The words have to go with the action. There is spiritual and there is physical. There's earthly and there's heavenly. And it all goes in the same bucket. And so to say, no, I'm not for just that. I'm only for this. Or I'm only for that. Would be to not recognize that he's fully for, and I'm challenged to want from. Help me with this. What might Jesus have been praying about? We think back to him in that solitary place. What might he been praying about?
Strength.
Patience. Good. Patience. What else?
Stay loving.
Yeah.
Sometimes you know people don't feel like good about you, or maybe that they're using you and us.
Mm-hmm.
But you still have to try to be kind to them and in every way. So it's not a good feeling to know that you're being taken advantage of.
Right. Yeah, and maybe he's wrestling with that. Yeah. What else might Jesus have been dealing with in prayer? Todd?
He's not going to support where he's going to establish some sort of credibility.
Okay. Right.
So with him being Cuban, there's
Well, Jesus comes out of that prayer time with an answer. So I wonder if in all the conflict, maybe one of the things Jesus is looking for is direction. I got to get back on the trail. And that's an opportunity for us too in our prayer lives. Often I come to God and I share with him what's on my mind, or what's on my heart, or things, people I'm concerned about. What I don't often do is ask God what he thinks. Do you do that? I wonder if Jesus did that. Say, God, what do you think I ought to do next? And Peter shows up. Hey, what are you doing? Everybody's looking for you. I got to get back on the road. He knows. He knows what he's supposed to be about. An opportunity, I think, for us is in our time with God to ask him, what do you think I should do about this? Who do you think I should reach out to today? Yes?
I think he's asking for patience with
Yeah, I think it does. Yeah, wanting patience with the people, because there is a lot of need represented there, and there's a lot of need that we don't see, that we don't realize. We think our need is to be healed of blindness, but our real need is for forgiveness. We think that it's an impure spirit, when really it might be something else that we don't recognize. Well, what insights can we learn about Jesus, our God, from this verses 35 through 39? Jesus was purposeful, how he uses time, how he spent it with people. What else can we learn about Jesus or God from this episode, Mark 1?
He didn't get sidetracked from his mission.
Yeah, he stayed on course. Ourselves. What can we learn about ourselves from this episode?
Even Christ needed God in prayer. We certainly do.
Okay. Yeah. Could increase prayer. What else? Place and we need a time to be with God. Yes, Todd? Yeah, I'm glad you mentioned that. And one of my favorite studies is to go through the early chapters of Luke. Maybe it's the first 12 chapters of Luke, and look at what happens in relation to prayer. And that's what we see. We see Jesus being full of prayer. Develop the habit of prayer. Well, we just have a few minutes. What I'd like to do is tip into verses 40 through 45. We won't have an opportunity to explore it in all the depth that it deserves, but we can notice a few things here. I think as we look at verses 40 through 45, Mark gives us a living example, kind of a visual aid for what he's told us in verse 39. In verse 39, he says, "So Jesus traveled through Galilee, preaching in their synagogues and driving out demons." And then we have this block in 40. "A man with leprosy came to Jesus and begged him on his knees, 'If you are willing, you can make me clean.' Jesus was full of compassion. He reached out his hand and touched the man. 'I am willing,' he said. 'Be clean.' Immediately the leprosy left him and he was cleansed. Jesus sent him away at once with a strong warning. 'See that you don't tell this to anyone, but go show yourself to the priest and offer the sacrifices that Moses commanded for your cleansing as a testimony to them.' Instead, he went out and began to talk freely, spreading the news. As a result, Jesus could no longer enter a town openly, but stayed outside in lonely places. Yet the people came to him from everywhere." For more on leprosy, Leviticus 13 and 14 give a lot of definition to these skin diseases and the processes for community restoration. If we were to put ourselves into this story, if you were a character in the story that we just read, and you're imagining what the setting was and what was going on, what are some of the details that come to your mind? Yeah, right. Standing back from the guy that's got a contagious disease, right? Yeah, we're kind of sensitive to that, I think, these days. What else? What else are you noticing? Other details. What's the posture of the guy? He runs up to Jesus and kneels right in front of him. He's like, whoa, step back. He's already kind of too close, right? Right. They're supposed to be standing out in the unclean, unclean. What else? He did have faith that he could heal him. And a strong profession of faith. He says, if you are willing, you can make me clean. There's a lot of belief in that statement. The question is whether or not Jesus is willing. There's no doubt that he's capable. The man fully believes he's capable. He doubts whether he's willing. How does Jesus show up? Yeah, he's almost like, take that. I'm willing, and not only that, I'm going to touch you before I heal you. Right? He doesn't heal him first. He touches him first. That's another key that you'll notice as you go through Mark. I believe 13 times in Mark's gospel, we have Jesus touching someone. The power of touch. We saw it with Peter's mother-in-law. What did he do to heal her? Took her hand. Right. Yeah. Touch. I mean, that's been one of the saddest things of this pandemic stuff, isn't it? The lack of contact. And all the sad stories on the news of people in facilities or whatever that can't see their loved ones and, you know, looking like fish in an aquarium. It's been terrible. Think about the power of the human touch. And Jesus embraced that. He says, I'm willing. Well, I'll let you guys process that more with David in the coming weeks. I just wanted to tip into that. I guess maybe I am curious. What do we learn about Jesus or God in this story? Dedicated to carrying out his father's will. Yeah. What else? He is passionate. Yeah. I don't know what your translation, how it reads it. Some translations say that Jesus was indignant. Some translations say that Jesus was full of compassion. But either way, there's a lot of gut there. There's a lot of emotion there. Anything else you want to recognize?
What I would lend to that is, why would you think I would not be willing?
Yeah.
I mean, that's a term that you can tell and play if you're willing.
Yeah.
So, was that the indignation that manifested itself there?
I think so. Coupled with his overwhelming desire to reach out. Well, what do we learn about ourselves from the story?
Sometimes
go to God when we're in trouble, when we need some help. It's almost more obvious to us then, isn't it? But the reality is, all the time. Yeah. Well, thank you for being conversational in our class time this evening and participating. I've enjoyed being with you guys today, and let's pray for God's blessing as we depart. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for all the ways that you bless our lives. We thank you for the fellowship that you offer us through your people. We thank you, Father, for the example that Jesus lived for us of the necessity of prayer, being on purpose, being dedicated. Father, for his willingness to touch. Help us to know how to touch the right way. Thank you for touching us. And Father, help us to invite others to have their lives transformed by you. We thank you, Father, for the gospel, for the good news of Jesus. And we pray in his name. Amen.